from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 7th day of May, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Harry Cooney from GrowMark will be here to look at the agricultural energies. And as we close out our half hour together today, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll hear an update of the state statisticians' reports from yesterday. Nationally, corn planting is just 12% along. The rolling five-year average is 47%. And it all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this in Chicago, mostly higher. The nearby May contract for the soft red winter wheat up 6.5 cents. Settlement price at $6.99.5. July at $7.09, up 6.25. The hard red harvest month, a penny and a quarter higher at $7.58. That in Kansas City. May corn futures, $6.76.5. The only loser on the day, really, down 2.25 cents. July futures were 3.5 higher at $6.40 on their settlement. September at $5.61.5, up 1.75. And December corn a penny higher at $5.39.25. March futures, $5.50, up 1.25. And the May contract of next year, $5.58, a penny and a half higher. May bean soybeans, $14.63.5, up 19. July futures, $13.82.25, up 13. The August contract, $13.29.5, up 12.5. And September soybeans, $12.58.5, up 8.75. November contract, a settlement price at $12.14.5, up 7.25. And January futures of next year, $12.22.25, up 7.5 cents. Bean meal futures up $3.20. Bean oil on the lead option, 40 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the August at $121 and a nickel, down 35 cents. October at $124.27.5, 25 lower. August futures at $146.55, down 90. In September, $1.07.5 lower at $147.92.5 for the day. Lean hogs finished the June contract at $91.30 per 100 pounds. Settlement price there, 2.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the University of Illinois on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. June contract, $95.65 a barrel, down 51 cents. The RBOB gasoline in the June at $2.83.3. That's 3.2 cents lower. Ethanol at $2.56.7, up 4.6. And the spread between the two is now 7.8 cents narrower than it was yesterday at 26.6 cents. Natural gas at $3.92.7, down 8.5, or rather 8.4 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel for the day, 0.7 cents higher at $2.92 per barrel. June gold at $1,448.80 an ounce, down $19.20, and the U.S. dollar trading at 82.25. That's down 0.06 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. As it comes from the National Weather Service, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, we should see partly sunny skies for the day. The high this afternoon near 75 degrees on a northeast wind at 8 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 54. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 76. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy and 57. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Mostly cloudy with a high of 75. Light south winds on Thursday, increasing to 8 to 13. Winds gusting to 17. Chance of precipitation at 60%. Thursday night, those rainfall will continue with a low of 58. 60% chance of rainfall then. It drops to 40% on Friday. Mostly cloudy skies and 69. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy and 52. Showers on Saturday, partly sunny thereafter, a high of 67 degrees. Saturday night, cloudy and 43. Sunday, sunny skies and 60. Sunday night, mostly clear and 41. And to start the work week, sunny and 66. More at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, as usual for a Tuesday afternoon, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace in Chicago. It looked like it was quiet, at least at the end of the day.
The end of the day was quiet. We had a little reaction higher in the late overnight and early morning, and when we first come in this morning, then we seemed to sell off a little bit when we reopened, and then we bounced back a little bit again. All of this on the ideas of, maybe it was a little overdone to the downside a little bit, number one, maybe rain in some areas, and then the ideas that, it looks like we were in the Eastern Corn Belt going to be able to get back in the field this morning again, and planning to proceed as thought about. So thin trade, but a little bit more to the negative side on all the new crop stuff, and it's the old crop, corn and beans, that are trying to pull the new crop up just a little.
The Eastern Corn Belt was in or not, in your opinion? The field, that is.
In the field? Had to run to the bank at noon today. Saw three tractors in the field and two planters going. So
right,
we're in, at least in Newmarket, we're in the field.
I saw a tweet from Chip Flory from his part of the world. That's in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Said that everybody was going this afternoon, and it finally looked like spring, though. It's kind of late for spring, but I guess Iowa has finally arrived as well. What do you think producers will be able to do over the next week? The weather forecast good enough? You think they'll be able to run most of the time or not?
Well, I think, basically, at least in our area here, we've got a day and a half before any more rain's supposed to come back in on us, and they're going to be putting corn in the ground really fast. I mean, I think it's going to be caught up faster than you'd think. We did get more corn in the ground, I think, here than over in your area over the Friday, Saturday of last weekend. So, I think we're going to make some real good progress along the way. It depends on which weather model you look at, how much rain we're going to get the Thursday through Saturday time period, but that'll be a slowdown period probably for sure in some areas. But, we're going to get back in the field, and I think we're going to get a good share of this crop planted. We could still lose a million or 2 acres of corn that was forecast to be in corn that's going to go to something else. But all in all, we're going to get a pretty good corn crop in the ground.
Yeah, I made a little loop outside of town this morning, went about, 4 or 5 miles to the south of town, and then probably 15 or 20 total. There's nothing planted here, and there won't be for a while. It's just terribly wet, although Champaign County is a little muddy to begin with. Kind of boggy, actually.
Heavier ground.
Yes. Heavy would be, that would be a light version of it, I suppose.
There you go. We got a little more sand over in our area and a little more clayish color. Yours is a little darker color.
Yeah, it tends to be pretty black. It tends to be awfully good earth, but she doesn't dry out very fast here. So they'll be waiting for a bit. I know in Logan County they have moved just a bit. Some planting has taken place there, but we'll see how things move over the next week or so. Washington, D.C., another thing that's happening, lots of stuff going on the Hill. Next week, it looks like Farm Bill will be up, both in the House and the Senate. That might be interesting to watch. I don't know that they have a lot of impact on the futures market, but certainly on the back pocket of farmers, I would guess.
You know, it's going to be a big deal in how they handle the food stamps bit here, Todd. I mean, what can they agree on and what can they not? Everybody's agreed that they're probably going to make some cuts to the actual farmers' part of the ag budget or the Farm Bill. And they probably, that would be okay along the way here, but we don't want to do it all at the expense of leaving the food stamps all alone.
Anything that you've been watching on the global and world side that is of interest?
Well, it seems like we've settled down a little bit. Our crude oil took a real jump beginning of the week and seemed to have the energies hopping when Israel sort of took some offensive action on Syria there. And that seems to have settled down to a degree now, and we seem to see crude and the fuel oils backing down a little bit, and I think that's a good thing.
All right. Anything else before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's about it today, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear more from Wayne, you can always do that again after the fact on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org, or you can just dial this number, 217-333-3434, about 3:15 Central Time. We post the Closing Market Report, at least a portion of it, some of the analysis and the numbers.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released its weekly crop progress report showing that as of the fifth day of May, 12% of the corn crop around the nation had been planted. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 47%. Last year on this date, by the way, 69% of the corn crop was in the ground. Soybeans are 2% planted nationwide. The rolling five-year average, 12%. Last year at this time, 22%. Now, here's an update of what the statisticians are seen in their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa field office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 5, 2013. The week began with dry and warm conditions that allowed planting and other field activities, although some farmers chose to delay planting due to the cold, wet weather forecast for later in the week. As the weather forecast materialized, cold, wet weather had spread across Iowa by midweek with records set for May snowfall, and the coldest daily high temperatures were broken in some areas. The average statewide snowfall for the week was 3.4 inches, almost triple the previous record May average set in 1947. There were 2.3 days suitable for field work, mostly early in the week before the weather deteriorated. Statewide, 8% of the corn is in the ground, while in a normal year, 56% would have been planted by May 5th. With the cool, wet weather so far this spring, planting is progressing at the slowest pace since 1995, when farmers also had 8% of the corn crop planted by May 5th. The average precipitation for the week was 2.22 inches, 1.2 inches above normal. Precipitation totals range from just under 1 inch in the Estherville to over 4.5 inches in Iowa City. Topsoil moisture levels rated 96% adequate to surplus, with the surplus category increasing from 14% to 37%. The additional moisture this week improved subsoil levels from 56% adequate to surplus to 72% adequate to surplus. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa field office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois farmers ran their planters for a few days last week, but rains closed the planting window near the end of the week. Statewide, the average rainfall for the week was more than 1.7 inches, nearly an inch above normal. Temperatures averaged more than 2 degrees above normal for the week. Across Illinois, there was an average of 2 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture remained essentially unchanged at 44% adequate and 56% surplus. Corn planting increased to 7% complete compared to 88% last year and 48% for the five-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop declined slightly and was rated as 1% very poor, 6% poor, 25% fair, 57% good, and 11% excellent. I would like to speak for one short moment on the Census of Agriculture. This project only occurs every 5 years, and it provides the most complete set of agricultural statistics for our country and for your county. The data collection window is about to close, and you may be contacted to gather some data about your farm or ranch. Please provide a few moments of your time to help with this important project. All reports are confidential by law, and only county totals and averages are published. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Progress Report for the week ending May 5th, 2013. Warm temperatures early in the week gave way to cold, wet conditions at midweek, which again limited field work. Snow was recorded in many counties at midweek. Moisture accumulations, which included rain, totaled an inch or more in many eastern areas, but was again limited in western counties. Corn planting progressed slowly and was 14% complete, a week and a half behind average. Soil temperatures as of Sunday were above 50 degrees in the western two-thirds of the state, but only in the high 40s elsewhere. Pastures continued to show little growth, with many producers lacking the forage supplies to feed much longer. The first cutting of alfalfa will be short and late, with one less cutting possible this year. Statewide, wheat conditions rated mostly fair to poor, with jointing 8% complete, 3 weeks behind average. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending May 5th. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 2.11 inches. Soils dried enough for many farmers to begin planting corn during the week, with the most progress occurring in southwestern counties until rain showers arrived over the weekend. 8% of the intended corn acreage has now been planted statewide compared with 82% last year. Corn planting progress is approximately 26 days behind last year and 20 days behind the 5-year average pace. The slowest year on record for planting corn occurred in 1961 when virtually no corn acreage had been planted at this time. A few soybean fields were also planted during the week, but total planted acreage remains minimal. 1% of the winter wheat acreage is headed compared with 55% last year and 15% for the 5-year average. 71% of the winter wheat acreage is rated to be in good to excellent condition. However, there is some acreage showing signs of stress from excessive moisture. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of the crop progress reports. You can hear them online at willag.org in the closing market report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Up next, Washington, D.C. is all a flutter about the Farm Bill. Markup has been delayed again, at least until next Tuesday. But that does risk a couple of things that might conflict with immigration reform over the floor time that is needed to discuss both of those proposals next month. Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow was hoping to have her Farm Bill proposal ready over the weekend for possible committee action this Thursday, but two major farm groups say it never happened. American Farm Bureau Director Dale Moore says the cost is key, making a mix of revenue coverage, target prices, and marketing loans fit available dollars.
The latest that we've heard is that the chair did not send out the markup package to member staff, as was anticipated, so they're still waiting to get that. We've also heard that some of that may be tied to waiting for the Congressional Budget Office to be able to catch up with all the different things they've got on their plate, including, you know, the chairwoman's legislative proposals. So what we understand is that this week's markup could actually be slipping into next week now.
National Farmers Union Chandler Gould agrees.
We are waiting for the CBO scores to come back on Title I and Title II and a couple other things to see if they fall within the budget parameters that the chair and ranking member have set for the Farm Bill. And so until we get that score back, they're unable to move forward to make sure that there is an agreement between the chair and the ranking member.
Gould says a Thursday markup looked rather ambitious. It's likely to happen on Tuesday of next week. I'll be in Washington, D.C. on that day.
If the Senate was able to have a markup early next week, they could take it to the floor that last week during session of May. It would require a lot of heavy lifting and everybody working together, but it's not impossible. I think if this floor time moves into June, we're going to run into a major problem with the immigration reform, which I know is a top priority for the Senate right now.
Plus, a water projects bill. But the congressional schedule is daunting, with both chambers breaking for Memorial Day recess the last week of May. That leaves just 1 week this month for floor action in both chambers if the two ag panels can successfully report out farm bills by next week. Oh, and as it happens, I'll be in Washington, D.C. with the National Association of Farm Broadcasting for their Washington Watch event. I'll be reporting, of course, back to you on things that are happening on the Hill.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line to take a look at the agricultural energies is Harry Cooney from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry. It was quite a start to the week this week in the crude oil.
Oh, yes, that's exactly right, Todd. We've had quite a rally here in crude oil off the mid-April lows. early April, we started about $97. We sold off all the way down to about $86 in the nearby crude oil contract. And just lately here, we've rallied back. And as of yesterday, we got up to about $97. So we've gained back almost all of what we lost there around mid-month. So now we're kind of back to where we started.
What does that mean to you in terms of the chart patterns? Anything?
It doesn't mean anything just yet, but we're approaching a very key level on the charts, and that's around $98. $98 is key because that would be that old high from late March, early April. Today we ended at around 95.5 or so. So we're still a couple dollars away from that $98 resistance. But if you would ever go up and take that $98 out, that would probably launch us into a move over 100 and closer to probably 103 to 105. So that would be a level that we haven't seen since early last year. So it would be significant if we take $98 out on the upside, according to the price charts that we look at.
Anything in terms of the stock market or the outsides, the dollar, that you think is interesting?
Well, the outside markets have been real interesting recently. The dollar itself hasn't been as much. It's been kind of in a sideways consolidation phase here. But the U.S. stock market just continues to chug up. And again, today, right now as we speak even, the Dow trading over 15,000, around 15,050. So again, that helps add support in the energy markets on price breaks on thoughts that if the stock market is going up, most likely the economy is improving, and thus oil demand may be improving. So that strengthening stock market could have been one of the reasons and the causes for the strength in crude oil here over the past couple of weeks. At a time when we've had a lot of world things going on. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about North Korea. Then all of a sudden, the Boston attacks at the race out there occurred, and now North Korea is just kind of falling off the news wires. But then we had the Syrian attacks here over the weekend in Syria. So now the Middle East stories are starting to prop up again, and so we'll be watching those. Anytime you hear of these problems in the Middle East, it makes the oil traders a little on edge.
Well, can you put this into some broader perspective as we go back to 2006, 7, 8, and we had a run-up in the marketplace? We ran crude oil, what, to 148?
Oh, 147 in 2008. Yeah.
So that was some time ago. There were lots of things at play. I suppose one of them largely was that demand was increasing rapidly as China was coming full force into the economy. We've settled back, and of course the United States had a recession at that point. Where
right.
do we stand now? Is this an inflation-driven sort of demand, do you think, or is it something else?
We're really balanced in the world right now because you had 147 on the top, then that next year you dropped to 33. Around $90 to $95 is about halfway back in that whole pattern, and that's right where we've been trading for in the past couple of years. So right in this area is fairly balanced according to history. So now we'll have to see what jars us loose from this $90 to $95, and probably something will happen this year, I would think, to make another significant move.
Thanks so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with Growmark.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Roast Leg of Lamb Day. The first sheep were brought to North America by Spanish soldiers under the command of Cortes in 1519. The introduction of sheep into commercial cattle herds of the Western territories were not well received, causing bloodshed and social division. It's also National Home Brewers Day. Due to a clerical error when Prohibition was repealed with the 21st Amendment, home brewing of beer remained illegal. It was not until February of 1979 when President Jimmy Carter signed a bill repealing federal restrictions on the home brewing of small amounts of beer. On this day in agricultural history in 1660, Isaac B. Furbein of The Hague reportedly received a patent for macaroni. In 1847, delegates to a national medical convention in Philadelphia approved a resolution that established the American Medical Association. Early goals include launching programs on medical ethics as well as improved public health. And in 1925, William Lever died. In 1886, William and his brother James formed the Lever Brothers Soap Manufacturing Company. It was one of the first companies to manufacture soap from vegetable oils instead of tallow. By 1900, the factory was producing a number of well-recognized brands, including Lifebuoy. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here. Finally, Don, I think you've gotten a little warmer there. I don't know whether you've gotten rid of all the snow yet because you had an awful lot of it. Let's start there and then tell me about the Midwest.
Well, it is important to look west because that is some of the weather that's going to be heading our way. And conditions are beginning to warm up a little bit, but we're still going to be testing a lot of people's patience when it especially comes to temperatures and really getting warmer, because what we're going to see this weekend and in early next week, believe it or not, another slug of cold air is going to come out of Canada. It's going to be directed a little bit more to the east. We're going to see possible record cold late this weekend into Monday and Tuesday. Great Lakes, some of the eastern Corn Belt, and into some areas of the Mid-Atlantic. It is possible that some of the Mid-Atlantic states could be waking up to temperatures in the 20s by early next week. Now, after that cold surge comes through, we do see warmer temperatures building in the Rockies and the Western High Plains starting to push east, but we're probably still 10 days away before a lot of that warmth can really build in.
And lows and highs over the time frame for our part of the world and a good portion of the Corn Belt will look like what then?
Well, we're looking at daytime temperatures that are going to be a lot in the 60s. The cooler days are going to be in the 50s. So 50s and 60s, not too many 70s, at least for the next week.
Oh, that'll keep soil temperatures very, very low, and they need to be pretty good sized for, well, higher than that, I suppose, for germination really to take place very well. That adds insult to injury, I suppose, after so much rainfall earlier this spring has delayed corn planting.
Yeah, and I guess the news is good in the long term. We do see temperatures getting warmer. It's going to start in the west and work its way east, but it's going to be a slow process. So in a week from now, we're still going to be talking about where those soil temperatures are and probably won't see too much movement from where they are now.
I suppose hopefully we'll be talking about some planting taking place, but emergence may be a little later than many would expect at this time of year. Usually corn should pop out of the ground. That might not happen this time.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to be delayed, and while the prospects, I think, for June and July and August, the growing season, temperatures and conditions, I think are going to be favorable, we're going to be watching real closely what happens at the end of the season and whether or not late summer, early fall is going to be a colder weather pattern. That's something we'll need to keep a very close eye on.
If you could, a quick update on the other primary growing season in the northern hemisphere that's taking place for corn, that would be in China?
As we go over there, it's a pretty wet forecast. A lot of China, a lot of the continent over there, Eastern Asia, is looking at a cooler than normal and a pretty wet weather pattern here over the next week. So there may be some delays over there as well.
And in Ukraine?
Ukraine has been a little bit warmer. Many areas of Eastern Europe have seen temperatures moderate some, especially Eastern Europe. The Ukraine, as you get into the eastern edges of Europe, as you get to Germany, you get into Hungary, Czechoslovakia, those areas, into Russia and Ukraine. Right now, it looks like a good start to their season over there.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.